Welcome to the 256th episode of the 4th and 24 podcast with Patrick Winograd. I am temporarily hosting for today myself, of course. In this edition, our topics are an overview of my weekend predictions, our preview of the NBA playoffs, and our weekly look at the MLB, of course. We will start with a look back at my weekend predictions, which are posted every Thursday on 4thand24.com, starting in the NBA, where I went 3-1 for the week. And then in the MLB, I went 2-2, which of course means that overall I went 5-3 for the week, which brings my overall record to 140-673. That is still a 60.7 winning percentage overall. Going back to the NBA, of course, to start with, these were all predictions in the final Friday of the season, not the final day, just because be hard to predict those, not knowing who was going to actually have anything at stake in those games. But on Friday, I knew what people had in stake and what was important for them. But the Sixers beat the Magic 125-113. I got that one right. The Suns beat the Kings 108-107. I predicted that one correctly as well. The Thunder beat the Bucks 125-107. I got that one right. And the Cavs beat the Pacers 129-120. That was the prediction I got wrong this week. But overall, very, very satisfied with my predictions in the NBA, of course. And, you know, looking forward to the playoffs, which we'll get to the preview of in a second. But in MLB, I went 2-2 in the second. My second weekend predictions, I actually, it's technically the third weekend of the season, but I didn't have predictions for the first weekend. Cubs took 2 of 3 from the Mariners. I got that one correct. The Yankees took 2 of 3 from the Guardians. I got that one correct, even though the Yankees had a very, very interesting final game of the series that the Guardians actually took to avoid the sweep there. The Astros took 2 of 3 from the Rangers, which I got wrong. And then the Brewers took 2 of 3 from the Orioles, which I got wrong. Corbin Burns pitching against the Brewers in the only win of the series for the Orioles, but not enough, obviously, to put them over the edge. They still lost the series overall, so I got that prediction wrong. But some interesting series so far in the MLB. I mean, it's definitely been a good start to the season. Definitely some interesting storylines to follow across the league. I think the Dodgers-Padres series was more interesting than people might have expected going into the weekend, considering how much the Dodgers normally just kind of dominate the Padres. But this time it was the Padres claiming the series with some interesting storylines along the way there. But, of course, my predictions will be back next week as well, posted on our website, as always, on Thursday with playoff predictions. And speaking of the playoffs, let's now turn to the NBA and talk about those playoff series and some of our predictions. We will start, actually, with the play-in games, despite the fact that, you know, obviously it'll mess up the matchups based on what actually happens. But I'll start in the Western Conference with the 7-8 game. It's looking like that'll be the AD-less Lakers against the Pelicans. Going off that information, I'm actually picking the Pelicans to win this game. I don't think the Lakers are going to be denied from the playoffs entirely, as we'll talk about in a second. But this is a tough matchup for them, especially without AD, especially in terms of defending Zion. And I just believe that, you know, with that advantage, if that's going to happen, the Lakers will lose that game, even though I do think on paper they're better than the Pelicans, and I think full strength they're better than the Pelicans. I just don't see it happening without AD. But it'll be an interesting game regardless. I think that'll be maybe the best play-in matchup we have. But then, in the second game, I do have the Warriors going on the road and beating the Kings. You know, some of that, I'm trying to reverse jinx it a little bit. I've done this many, many times before with many different teams I like, but look, I think at the same time, as much as I can call it a reverse jinx, I think it makes the most sense to pick the Warriors. They have the experience advantage. They won the series last year when these two teams played, and it wasn't like it was, despite the fact that the Warriors struggled on the road all last year, that wasn't the difference in the series at all. The Kings had home field and they home court, and they still lost the series. So I'm not exactly thinking that, I mean, it definitely makes a difference for sure. But look, the Kings lost to the Suns. They lost to the Pelicans last week. Both of those games they needed urgently for playoff seeding to avoid being in this game, especially, and they couldn't get any of those, and all those games were at home. So I don't exactly think that, as much as I would love to say the Kings are going to win this game, I don't think it's a smart pick to make, especially considering I can, you know, get a little bit of an emotional hedge out of picking against them. So that's what I'm doing. And then in the Lakers-Warriors matchup that would ensue, I do have the Lakers winning that one. That would be a home game. I just think that they're better than Golden State, honestly. As much as both teams have had their fair share of struggles throughout the regular season, LeBron is playing pretty well right now. I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Lakers beat the Pelicans. Like I said, it's going to be a close game, and that's me assuming they don't have AD. If AD's playing, I think they're the best team in the play-in pretty easily. So I'm going to go ahead and say that the Lakers are going to win that matchup. And, you know, the number one reason, honestly, is just that I don't think this team is going to miss the playoffs no matter who they're playing. They'll find a way to make it out of the play-in and into the playoffs. I just can't tell you who they'll play on the way. Although, obviously, I'm predicting in here to be the Warriors after they lose to the Pelicans. And then moving to the Eastern Conference play-in, you have the Sixers against the Heat. That's a home game for Philly. I don't want to say it's an unfair matchup, because obviously the Heat have beaten the Sixers in the past in the postseason, but I just don't see that happening this year. I think that the Sixers are playing at a better level, especially recently. I definitely think they're getting a little bit overrated by people, but at the same time, I think saying they won't win this game would kind of be disrespectful, considering how they've played since Joel Embiid has come back. And he will be there for the playoffs. So, of course, I'm picking Philly to win this game. The Heat are going to make it really, really close for sure, as they always do. You know, they are the scrappy team. That is what they do. But I do think that the Sixers pull this one out. And then in the second game, Bulls-Hawks, that was a little bit of foreshadowing for the next pick, but I think the Bulls are going to get this win. I just don't think that the Hawks are healthy enough. You know, they've just had a bunch of injuries down the stretch. Players who we don't know if they'll return or not, Jalen Johnson being one of them. Some of them we don't know. Some of them are just, I think, just the chemistry issue of having guys in and out of the lineup a lot at the end of the season, including Trae Young, is just too much to overcome. And I think that already the Bulls have maybe the better roster on paper to begin with. So I'm picking the Bulls in this game. But I don't really think it matters. I think whoever loses the 7-8 game is beating the winner of that game no matter what. Which means, of course, that I do have the Heat beating the Bulls to claim the 8 seed. The Heat, I just think, again, they have a pretty good chance of just beating Philly straight up. I mean, I've already said that a few times. It's going to be a really close game there. And I don't necessarily think that that's a terrible matchup for them. So I think, you know, we might see them win that game. We might not. And even if they don't, I still think they're going to have an easy enough time against the Bulls, because the Bulls just have a worse overall roster and the Heat are more playoff ready than the Bulls are. So I think it'll be Philly and the Heat making it out of the play-in, which means, of course, that we can now move on to the actual Western Conference playoffs. And I'll start by talking about the Thunder against the 8 seed. Look, I don't think it's very, very hard to actually predict the play-in, honestly, especially with just, you know, how the way the loser's bracket, per se, kind of turns out. So I'm just going to give the overall opinion that I do think the Thunder are going to win the series no matter what. I think people are being a little bit crazy by saying that, you know, this team could be like Sacramento last year, where kind of lack of experience takes over and they lose to a more experienced team in the playoffs. I think Golden State or the Lakers for sure could beat them. But, I mean, one of the teams that they would be potentially playing is Sacramento, so there's a lot of inexperience there too. And New Orleans, really the same thing. I mean, New Orleans has definitely been in the playoffs more often, but their roster has always been, you know, a different look every single time they've made it. So I do think OKC has the advantage. I know that that's not a popular pick, especially, you know, relative to them being a one seed. But that's the pick I'm going with. So I will pick OKC in that series. I think it's in six if it's over, or if it's against, excuse me, the Pelicans. or the Kings, and I definitely think the Warriors or the Lakers would push that series to seven games. But that is, you know, the interesting wrinkle is that those teams, they have that kind of game seven experience all throughout their rosters, and that might be the difference. So I understand why people don't think OKC is going to go very far, but I think saying a first-round exit, you know, calling them, maybe, I don't think people necessarily have been calling them kind of this year Sacramento Kings, but that's kind of the vibe around this team in terms of people predicting how well they'll do or, you know, how not well they'll do in the postseason. I just don't think that's accurate considering that they did claim the one seed. That wasn't, you know, by chance. This is a really, really good team. And I think, you know, the same thing applies to Denver, of course, the defending champions. They're the number two seed. They will be playing the number seven seed. I have their game distributions being the exact same as the Thunder, although I'm a lot more confident in them winning the series than I am in OKC. I just think that, you know, these are still some tougher teams that can keep it close. They might be able to beat the Kings in five games, honestly, maybe even sweep them. I would give them that advantage. I guess I'll say they'll beat the Kings in five if they make it there. New Orleans, I'd say, is also a five or six game series for them, and then the other two, maybe six or seven. But I still don't think Denver would have any problems putting away Golden State or the Lakers, considering they already did that against the Lakers last year pretty easily. But then you get into the really interesting series, at least in my opinion. I think everybody kind of agrees on that, though. Minnesota and Phoenix. This one, I mean, this is a really, really tentative pick for me. I'm picking the Suns in seven because they dominated the regular season series. But at the same time, you never know if that's just going to fuel Minnesota to get even more revenge in this series with home court. I keep saying home field. With home court. It's going to be a really, really interesting series, though. These teams are already beefing in the last game of the season when they played each other in the regular season yesterday. Can't even imagine what it's going to be like, seven games of these two going at it. Obviously, there's, you know, the old clips of Anthony Edwards talking about the Suns being a disgrace when they were only had 36 points in the third quarter against Dallas a few years back in the playoffs. So there's some funny things going on with this series. But I think, you know, this is peak NBA entertainment. You know, there's a lot of background beef, like I said. And it's just two really, really good, fun teams to watch, too, you know, let alone the fact that there's kind of some stuff in the background going on. These are really, really, really good teams, and it should be a fun series to watch pace-wise as well. So I do have the Suns barely winning. I have them winning in seven, but, you know, Minnesota could easily win the series. I definitely thought about picking Minnesota, but, you know, I looked at it and then I realized I was going to pick 1, 2, 3, and 4 if I picked Minnesota. So I picked Phoenix to be my upset, even though maybe that's a little bit too conventional of an upset pick. And maybe that's where I'll be wrong. And I guess I just spoiled my final pick, so I might as well move on to it. That, of course, being the Clippers beating the Mavericks in seven. This, in my opinion, is the most fun series. I know people think that Minnesota and Phoenix will be up there. I think it is for sure. But I do think this series has the potential to be even more entertaining. You have Kyrie Irving, you have Luka Doncic, two very, very proven playoff performers. Luka loves to beat up on the Clippers, whether that's in the regular season or in the playoffs. So that's another interesting thing to track. And then, of course, you have Kawhi Leonard, who is a more than proven postseason performer. And then you also have James Harden and Paul George, who have, you know, some shaky reputations when it comes to the postseason, whether that's warranted or not is a different discussion, but fact of the matter is the reputations are a little bit shaky, and it is what it is. But I think this will be a really entertaining series. I think this one's going to go seven. All of them are going to be close games. In the end, I do have the Clippers edging it out. I'm really sad that this is a first round matchup, though, because I really do think that these are two of the better two of the much stronger teams in the West and the bigger threats to Denver. I think they are bigger threats to Denver, both of these teams, than OKC or Minnesota is. And I know that might sound crazy, but I think that's personally my opinion on it. I think if Dallas hadn't had Kyrie injured a lot this season, I think they could have been a top two or three seed themselves. And I think that, you know, both of these teams obviously have plenty of playoff experience, which is going to help. But of course, favorite in the West being Denver. And if you ask me to give a finals pick right now, if you ask me to pick beyond the series, I would pick Denver over the Suns, and then I would pick the Clippers over the Thunder, and I'd pick the Thunder, I'd pick the Nuggets to beat the Clippers and make it to the finals once again. But of course, there's still more going on in the NBA, that of course being the Eastern Conference playoffs, where the number one seeded Boston Celtics are playing the 8 seed. I have Boston winning in 5 if they're playing Chicago or Atlanta pretty easily there. And then I have them winning in 6 if it's over Miami. And I'll say 7 if it's Philly, but I mean, you know what? I'll stick with it. I'll say it's 6 with both of them, honestly. I don't see them going 7 games in the first round. I just think this team is way too good to get taken that far. But then again, they've kind of let people down in the past. And I guess it wouldn't be that surprising if they did it again. I just am not going to be the one to sit up here and predict that it's going to happen. But then you have the Knicks, of course, facing off with the 7 seed. Again, still would be a play-in team. I think they also beat Atlanta in 5 or Chicago in 5. You know, there's a chance that one of those could go 6. I guess Trae Young could just, you know, have one of his ridiculous games that he always has against the Knicks in the postseason. But at the same time, I do think the Knicks are being a little bit slept on, considering that, you know, people have kind of said they're not deserving of a 2 seed, they're really overrated. I think their finals odds are pretty low, considering what their record is. And same thing for not only their finals odds in terms of to win the finals, but even to make it out of the first round or make it out of the Eastern Conference, they're pretty low. But I do have them going to 7, though, if it's Philly. And I actually think Miami would beat them in a series. So as much as I've said I think they've gotten some undeserved hate, I do think Miami would be a really terrible matchup for them, because their one weapon that Miami really can't guard is Julius Randle. And the problem is Julius Randle's not playing. So that's not going to be a great matchup for them if they get there. But we'll see what the matchup actually is. I still think, though, New York will advance. I mean, that even that pick that I'm making with Miami beating New York is a really, 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 really tentative pick. So I think more likely than not, the Knicks make it to the second round. I think they are a good enough team to do that. And then moving on from that, of course, the third series is Milwaukee against Indy. I have the Pacers in 7. I'm just going to say it. Indy has been really hot for a while, and I think this is a terrible matchup for a slumping Milwaukee team. I just haven't liked anything I've seen out of the Bucks in a very, very long time. And even though the Pacers, you know, they had their kind of slump in the late part of the middle of the season, they've been so much better since then. And I think as a result, this is a win for Indy, just because they're going to be able to run up the pace on the Bucks, and also because of Giannis's injury status. I really don't think it's a great matchup when you consider the fact that Giannis is injured and Indy will already be looking to push the pace in the first place. It's just not a great matchup on paper at all for the Bucks, even with Giannis fully healthy. If he's not playing, then I mean, they're really in some deep water there. And even if he is, but he's questionable and, you know, dealing with an injury, it's a rough path for them. I just don't see them winning the series because they've just been playing so poorly down the stretch. So give me Indy in that upset. They're a fun team. I know they don't have the playoff experience that Milwaukee does, but I think maybe in this case, not having that experience might be a good thing. And going back on the pendulum swing of does experience matter or not, in Cleveland versus Orlando, I am picking the Cavs to win. But I will say, this is also going to be a really close series, and you know, there's no real injuries kind of messing up this one. Although I guess Donovan Mitchell technically has had some injury issues as the end of the season is hit. But, you know, I think he'll be playing in the postseason, and as a result, I think the Cavs win this one in 7. I think the Magic can adapt to playoff basketball quickly, and if that happens, then, you know, Orlando not only would have a chance in the series, but probably could win the series. I just don't know how quickly that process takes place, and if they'll adapt quick enough. So as a result, I'm picking the Cavs to win the series, but the Magic have been a really fun team all year long, and if they can keep playing the way they were playing in the regular season, especially at the end of the regular season, they will win the series. I just don't see that happening necessarily. Normally, the playoffs serve as kind of a reset for those veteran teams. They know what they're supposed to be doing in the playoffs, and as a result, I think that the Cavs do have more natural talent and the experience advantage over Orlando, and that's what's going to take them over the edge. So That's all I got for the NBA playoffs. We will now turn to the MLB, with a review of the last week of action in the standings and see how everything has shaken out after the last few weeks. Starting as always in the American League East, you still have the Yankees at the top of this division at 12-5. One of the best starts to the year in really the whole league. They actually do have the best record in the league, so the best start, I guess. Baltimore is in second at 10-6, and then Toronto, Tampa Bay, and Boston are all sitting at 9-8. Very different paths for all these teams to get to their records, though. The Yankees at 12-5 definitely have cooled off a little bit recently after a super, super hot start to the season, but they're still playing really good baseball. I talked about that kind of shocking loss they took to the Guardians at the end of that series, but at the same time, they still did win that series, so a lot of credit there for them. A good weekend for them and a good week overall. Still getting a lot of offensive production. Maybe the pitching staff has been a little bit worse than people expected, but the offense has been better, so a little bit of a trade-off there. But overall, they're doing about as people expected them to do, maybe a little bit better. Baltimore, kind of the same situation. Offensive production has been through the roof for them. The most runs scored in the AL so far. Only trailing the Braves, the Dodgers, and the Padres, and those teams have extra games on them, and also the Brewers, and the Pirates. But still, top of the AL, really good offensive production for them. Toronto has won three in a row. They started off really, really rough, but it seems like they've started to pull things together, so we'll see if that continues here in the rest of the season. Toronto obviously is one of those teams that lurks around the playoff picture, but sometimes doesn't end up making it, especially recently. And then you have Tampa Bay, who played well in their series against the Giants, but their pitching staff has been really, really bad considering what it normally is. They've given up 89 runs this year, which is the most runs given up other than the Astros in the American League. So that's not a great sign for them. And a negative 18 run differential overall. And then good pitching, actually, at the bottom of this division by the Red Sox, even though they're 9-8 and they have had some struggles recently and, you know, have run into some injury issues. Rafael Devers has been in and out of the lineup with injuries. Their pitching staff's been pretty solid. Cutter Crawford has had a great start to the year, so has Tanner Houck. And the Red Sox bullpen has been good enough in certain games. They've definitely blown a few, but at the same time, they've been good enough to stay afloat. They're above 500, and, you know, maybe they can hit a stride offensively, and that can carry them through a little bit of the season, and they can get on a little hot streak. And, I mean, you could say that for a lot of teams. Speaking of one of those teams who has gotten on a hot streak, talk about Cleveland and Kansas City at the top of the AL Central. Both of them with 11 wins so far. Cleveland 11-5. Kansas City at 11-6. Cleveland is 7-3 in their last 10. Kansas City is 8-2 in their last 10. Both of them with 87 runs scored on the year. Kansas City, the only team in the AL that hasn't given up 50 runs yet as a team. Actually, the only team in the league that hasn't given up 50 runs so far as a pitching staff. And then Cleveland is in second place in terms of runs allowed at 52. So both of these teams, great pitching staff starts to the season. So just great starts all around there. And, you know, two teams that in a weaker division were supposed to succumb to the Twins. But at the same time, both of them now playing well above 500 to start the season. We'll see how long it can last. Definitely some talent on both of those teams, obviously, though. Cleveland, one of those teams that's always expected to compete. Kansas City, just a young team that does have that talent on their roster, just kind of waiting for it to break out. Maybe this is the year for them. And speaking of some young talent, the Tigers are 9-7. They did start out 4-0 to start the season, so they've definitely cooled off since then, but they're still above 500, still still playing decent enough baseball to be worthy of some mention here. And then you have the Twins at 6-9. They just haven't put things together yet. I mean, they played a Dodgers team that wasn't even playing its best baseball and couldn't take that series at home. They started off 0-4, I believe, at home as well. So just a rough start to the season for Minnesota. And then if you want to talk about rough starts, Chicago White Sox, they are 2-14 on the season. This is, I think they are the worst team in baseball. I don't think it's particularly close. The Rockies are bad, but they're not that bad. Just this team is just awful. There's really no other way to say it. They've scored 34 runs in 16 games. That's barely more than 2 runs per game. It's ridiculous.
how bad this offense is. Their pitching staff's not much better either. But I'll move on from the AL Central and talk about the AL West, where the Rangers are in the lead at 9-8. This division has been very underwhelming so far. A few teams that are supposed to be playoff contenders, but none of them playing like it, including the Rangers, honestly. They are still above 500, but lost that series over the weekend to the Astros, like I said. You have the Angels, who are 8-8. They've played the Red Sox for, I think, 6 of their 16 games so far. So both of those teams kind of just splitting those games right down the middle as teams hovering around that 500 mark. We'll see if that means anything later in the season or not. I don't think it really will. Then you have the Mariners, who are 7-10. I feel like they're playing better baseball, but at the same time, they've played some good teams. You know, they played the Cubs this weekend, just weren't quite able to pull out the series victory there. Then you have the A's, who are 7-10. Also, that's a surprise, a pleasant surprise, frankly. They're better than people expected them to be so far. And I guess that's a good thing for them. I don't really know if they're trying to win, though, but it doesn't really matter. I don't know. And then, of course, at the bottom of this division, or maybe not, of course, obviously. Obviously, if you've been watching, but not obvious if you just went off preseason expectations. It's the Astros at the bottom of this division, 6-12, but they're going to figure things out eventually. Their pitching staff has given up 99 runs to start the year. Once they get healthy, they'll figure things out pretty easily. The question is, how long can they, you know, actually survive, or actually can they stay afloat? Because right now they're not really floating. They're kind of losing ground a little bit too much here early on in the season. But if they can get, you know, start playing 500 ball for a little bit, and they get better once their pitchers are healthy and, you know, maybe get on a hot streak, they'll be fine long term. But I'll move on now to the National League, where in the NL East, the Braves are 10-5, the Phillies are 9-8, the Mets are 8-8, the Nationals are 7-9, and the Marlins are 3-14. The Braves, you know, they're doing their thing to start the year. They're definitely going to have some issues long term, though, since Spencer Strider will be out for the season with an injury. That's going to be a big deal for this team. Severely limits their chances in the playoffs and just in general to be as dominant as they were last year. But their offense is still there, still very much performing third in MLB in runs scored, and only behind those two teams, like I said, that have two extra games played over pretty much everybody. So those two teams being the Dodgers and the Padres, of course. So actually four extra games for the Dodgers or the Padres over the Braves. So you know, that advantage definitely plays a role there. But then you have the Phillies, a minus 12 run differential, but they're somehow above 500. Couldn't really tell you how, but they've played better recently. They're 6-4 in their last 10. The Mets have clawed their way back to 500 after starting the season really rough, starting out 1-5, actually. They're 7-3 in their last 10, so they made it back to 500. We know this team has enough offensive talent to at least be near the middle of the league. It's really just down to the pitching staff if they can kind of elevate this team above those kinds of levels. And then you have the Nationals. They did beat the Dodgers last night, but you know, overall, just they're an okay team. I mean, they're not gonna challenge for a playoff spot or anything. They're still young, but they've been playing better than I guess most people would expect them to heading into the season. Then you have the Marlins. In the conversation for worst team in baseball, but I think the White Sox have them beat there. Not much else to say about them, though. And then you have the NL Central, which surprisingly has been maybe the most competitive division in all of MLB. Three teams with 10 wins, the only division that can claim that. The Brewers at 10-5 and the Pirates at 11-6 currently lead this division. The Pirates were the number one team in the league by record for, you know, the first 2.5 weeks. They were also the number one team, I believe, last year in the NL through maybe 30 or 40 games. So maybe they're going to do the same thing again, hopefully for Pirates fans' sake. They don't have the massive fall off that they did last year. But between these two teams at the top of the division and then the Cubs at 10-6, who have been playing better recently, won 3 in a row, this is going to be an interesting race. It's actually shaping up a lot more interesting than maybe people thought. The Cubs, of course, playing good baseball, sitting in third place currently. And then the Reds and the Cardinals, not too far behind. The Reds at 9-7, and then the Cardinals at 8-9. Really, all these teams have been competitive so far in this division, which is a pleasant surprise considering that it was viewed as potentially one of the weaker divisions. I mean, I would say more of a low ceiling type of a division, a pretty high floor in terms of the talent across the board here, but just not many teams that look like potential 100-win teams, and yet three teams with 10 wins already. So who knows? Maybe we're all wrong about that. And speaking of a division that has 100 win teams in it, the Dodgers, of course, leading the NL West at 11-8, even after losing the series to the Padres, 4-6 in their last 10. But, you know, this team's going to figure it out eventually. They need to get healthy on the pitching staff, and they got bad news on that front with Bobby Miller missing some time, going on the IL. But at the same time, Walker Buehler is on his way back, starting his doing his rehab work in AAA. So there's good and bad news for them. The Padres, of course, taking that series from the Dodgers, moving to second place at 10-9. Surprisingly behind them, the Arizona Diamondbacks, who of course made the World Series last year, but are currently 8-9 to start the season, despite having the best run differential in this division. And then you have the Giants, who are 7-10, and then the Rockies, who are 4-13. The Giants, you know, they've been, I'd say they've been disappointing to start the year, but they're not too far under 500. They played a semi-tough schedule, so I expect them to pick it up once they start playing some weaker opponents. And then the Rockies are just not that great of a team. It is what it is. Their pitching staff is really bad, and it shows up on the stat sheet. The second worst run differential in the National League, only team with the worst run differential are the Miami Marlins. The only team in MLB with a worst run differential are the Chicago White Sox. But that is all we have for MLB. That also means that's all we have for this entire podcast. So that wraps this edition of the 4th and 24 podcast. Please be sure to check out our next podcast, which will be on Tuesday, April 23rd, where we will once again look at my weekend predictions, have another look at NBA action, this time talking about the first few games of the playoffs and the play-in, of course, and have our weekly review of MLB action. In the meantime, please be sure to check out my additional content, which includes my picks for next weekend's games that will be posted, as always, on Thursday, and my power rankings in the MLB, which will be posted tomorrow. All of that on our website, 4thand24.com. That's the number 4, THAND, the number 24.com. Thank you for listening.